Chapter 1. There were few belongings in the rather large apartment on the hill overlooking Lake Union. The sparse furnishings included a small wooden love seat, a 19-inch color television which sat on the floor next to a stereo CD player. The kitchen contained a set of shiny black dinnerware, all of which sat unwashed in the sink. In the refrigerator were several styrofoam containers of half-eaten takeout dinners. The bedroom was a little different. A king-size waterbed was the predominant feature and sat in the middle of the darkened room. Clothes were strewn about the unkempt floor. On the bed, the sheets were balled up in a corner of the large bed. There was a month-old issue of Time magazine and a half-pack of Camels, the ashtray overturned, its contents littering a small area of the bed. There was a telephone on the floor next to the bed, which was now ringing, trying to reach the unhearing ears of the bed's sole occupant. The unconscious form of Kenny Rudman lay sprawled smack in the middle. Somewhere in the deep reaches of Kenny's subconscious mind, the dream was beginning to recede, and the incessant ringing was ever so slowly bringing the barely human form out of drunken hibernation. Kenny reached over the side of the bed, his hand blindly following the sound of the ringing phone. Not quite able to pick it up, he knocked the handset out of its cradle. His head seemed to explode, and he winced painfully as he spoke distantly into the receiver. "Leave me alone. I'm not home." He thought he probably sounded annoyed. That was good. He waited a few seconds to ensure that the caller was still on the other end, then he picked up. His voice conveyed a barely audible, "Kenny here. This better be good." "Goddamn, Kenny. I know you're probably hungover or still drunk. How much last night?" the voice on the other end said. "Mike, let me wake up before you lay into me." "I'm coming over, Ken. We need to talk." Kenny's reply was less than welcome, although entirely expected. "I'm going to take a shower and maybe, if I feel lucky, shave. I may forget to unlock the front door between here and the bathroom. If the door is locked when you get here, fucking wait." He hung up without waiting for a reply. "Damn people," he thought. Why couldn't they simply leave him alone to self-destruct? He'd have to remember to ask that question. He mustered the strength to stand, picking up the smokes and the empty bottle as he did. He tossed the bottle into the open closet door, where it landed safely on a pile of unwashed clothes. He looked at the pile of clothes disgustedly and made his way to the bathroom, remembering to unlock the front door for Mike on the way. The face that looked back at him in the mirror told the story. Staring back was a vague resemblance of the man he once was. He wondered how things had gotten this bad, but somewhere deep inside, he supposed he knew and chose to forget. He hoped he could shave without doing severe damage as he fought to control his shaking hands. A week lost. Well, it wasn't the first time, and he supposed it wouldn't be the last. He got through the shave without incident, and once in the shower, he stood there for a long moment, letting the steam open his pores while the water worked to wash away some of the poison. "Gotta get out of here for a while," he told himself. Some fresh air, food, and exercise were definitely in order. He hoped it would help to produce a fresh perspective on things. He thought that would be nice. Back in the bedroom, he found a clean pair of faded Levi's and a clean white t-shirt. After some digging through the mess in the closet, he produced a well-worn pair of Tony Lamas and a belt. He heard the front door open and immediately smelled the unmistakable smell of Seattle's best coffee house blend. And a minute later, the not-quite-welcome face of Mike Hansen appeared somewhat out of focus in the doorframe. "Hey, pal, brought you some coffee and the 5 newspapers that have seemed to have found a home out front while you've been absent from humanity." Kenny regarded his friend with contempt. What's so important it couldn't wait? "You, that's what. You don't answer the phone, you don't return messages, you don't show up for appointments. Hell, you missed a debrief last Monday, and I don't think I need to tell you that Mary is pissed." Mike turned out of the room and started opening the blinds. "You're non-existent. You just lock yourself up in this cave and forget about everything." He turned to look at Kenny. "It's not going to change what happened. You need to get past that. You were cleared of any negligence or wrongdoing, Kenny. You can't change it. By the way, Carolyn is beside herself with worry.